Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all tell the people them, no?
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us today. Our lines will be open so you can call 516-418-5699 with your comments, questions, personal prophecy, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 516-418-5699. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or Get 'em Radio, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, our parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joined us for the first time, home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries may be small in number, but we know when we are faithful with a few things, the Lord make us ruler over much. We're featuring home, small, and parachurch ministries by interviewing them as well as presenting special, encouraging, and educational things monthly. We hope that as you hear these broadcasts, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
Well, glory to God, glory to God. Welcome, everyone. So good to see all of you on the line already. Amen. Some of you were on before the broadcast started. So good to see you. God bless you. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we bless you. We thank you. We love you, Lord God. You are the Holy One, the Glorious One. You are the True and Living One. We thank you, Lord God, that your word says that if two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And we thank you, Lord God, for this God in the Midst Get 'em Radio broadcast. And we continue to dedicate this broadcast to you and say, Lord God, have your way, move by your spirit, do as only you can do. And Lord, we're in a high expectation. We're in a very high expectation for miracles. Hallelujah. That's what you've been talking to us about. And so we just thank you and we praise you. We bless your holy name right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, miracles. We keep hearing it. We hear it when we pray in tongues. We hear it as we walk down the way. We hear it all over. Miracles. Amen. So join us in expecting miracles. Amen. Amen. If you were with us last month, we did have a wonderful Spiritual Warfare Boot Camp, and Pastor Helen Price was our facilitator. There's so much going on right now that is in need of spiritual warfare. And so if you would like to go back and listen to those broadcasts, there were five of them every Thursday last month, you can listen to them in their entirety. Very good training, very good stirring up. It's Google Gitim Radio, G-I-T-M Radio. And you'll be able to listen to all of those broadcasts in their entirety, including our other 1,300 podcasts that we have out there. Glory to God. And now next month is going to be a very super special, every month is special to us, you know. But next month is going to be very special to us because it is our 10th anniversary. Hallelujah. 10 years of God's Radio. Hallelujah. So prepare yourself to join us. We have talked about what we're going to do, and we want to make this our 10th anniversary to you and to us, and most of all, special to the Lord, because this was his vision, this was his idea. We wrote it, and we ran with it. Amen. So join us, because our theme is, look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. And he has done so much. We're just totally blessed by him. Amen. Now, we've gone last month, next month. Now, let's go this month, what we're talking about today. Hallelujah. We are still excited. We stay very excited over here, y'all. We stay excited. Our speaker tonight I want to say so much. I feel like I need to speak in tongues for a minute. Excuse me. Hallelujah. So our speaker tonight, there's so much about him. You probably just have to speak in tongues to even be able to introduce him. His name is Brother Wendell Phillips Berwick. And he's known as Phil, or Brother Phil. If you live in the St. Louis area, you have seen his artwork around St. Louis, and I'm going ahead of myself. Let me just say, Brother Phil is a man of God. He's an artist. He's an abolitionist. He's an arborist. He's a missionary and much, much more. He lives in Ferguson, Missouri, and is married to Teresa and has four daughters. Now, the Lord has given him a passion, and he has gifted him to create the cartoon Murford and Tree Toons. So if you're in the St. Louis area and you've gone down 70 or you just looked around, you have seen Murford in so many different places in St. Louis. He's also the owner of Living Tree Care, and he's using those arborist gifts, amen, like a tree surgeon, okay? And so he does that as well. He climbs trees and takes care of trees and makes sure the trees live well. Glory to God. He's also the founder of Freedom Cry, and that's his mission. The Lord has given him a mission to be, and this is a word that we don't hardly use anymore, abolitionist in Pakistan. And what that is freeing children from the scourge of bonded labor in Pakistan. My speech is doing something. Please excuse me. Abre bohondi ala kisandele rio sikre do kusandele hise. Asho no hoshi ke la basi. Enda la hose ke la hasanda. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. I just hear the Lord say, yes, I am in the midst. I am in the midst. If you've never been here before to this program, I'm in the midst. I am here. Hallelujah. And I'm here to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask, think, or even imagine. I am here. Open your ears. Open your heart. I'm here, saith the Lord, for you. Thank you for being here with me. In Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My tongue was going all over the place. I know how to say arborist. Abolitionist, scourge, I know all those words. And so I just stopped, and of course, we've dedicated this to the Lord. Let the Lord have his way. Amen. So also, Brother Phil is also a songwriter, a musician, and an actor. Hallelujah. So on this broadcast tonight, we're going to get to meet and greet Brother Phil, whole name, Brother Wendell Phillips Berwick. And we're going to keep it short and say Brother Phil. So I want to introduce to some. Hallelujah. I'm going so past myself today, Lord Jesus. I want to say how I met him before I introduce to some and present to all who he is. Brother Phil and I met when I'm sure you know, or most people know about what happened in St. Louis several years ago when Michael Brown was shot, and then in Ferguson, and that's the town that Brother Phil lives in. And so when he was shot, a lot of us got together, and a lot of ministries got together, and we met, we prayed together. So it was ministries that may not have even talked to each other over the years got together and began talking and praying together. And so that's how I met him, and I met some other people during that time. And then when I would meet some of the other people. One was Michael Brown's uncle, and he's a pastor, Pastor Ewing. And so so I knew him, and then I know someone else that Brother Phil knows, and that's Barry. And so between the two of those guys and Brother Phil, Pastor Ewing and Barry, Brother Barry, had events at their home, you know, holidays or something like that. And then I would go there, and I would see Brother Phil and his wife, Teresa. So that's how we got to know each other, and that's been several years. Now, you know, through the pandemic, we did not see each other that much. And one day, I went to Trader Joe's. And I'm shopping around in Trader Joe's, and I see Brother Phil, and I go over, and I'm talking to him. And before it's all over, he goes and finds some boxes and begins to draw Murford on it for me and this young lady at Trader Joe's who happened to be helping me that day. I've never seen her before or since. I only saw her that day. And so he drew Murford on both of our boxes, autographed it, you know, to us and everything. And we just had a good time right there in the store. And the Lord told me, get his information and have him to come on Get 'Em Radio. So with all that, I want to say that I want to introduce to some and present to all Brother Wendell Phillip Berwick, a.k.a. Brother Phil. Welcome, Brother Phil.
Hey, Sister Barb. Thank you for having me. Can you hear me?
Amen.
Okay?
Amen. Yes, I hear you very well. And I'm still wondering why I had to speak in tongues, but there was a reason why. Glory to God.
Wow.
Glory to God.
Yeah, sometimes we can't put into words what needs to be spoken into the atmosphere, into the air.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
So I hear you.
Well,
sometimes that's all I can get away with is praying in the Spirit.
Well, anytime you want to do that here, you're free, okay?
All right, I might sing in the Spirit before we're done.
All right. Glory to God. Oh, we love that. Amen.
Praise
we love
God.
That. So,
Lord, you know, we hear about the prince of the power of the air. That's one of the names of Satan. The prince, Jesus called him the prince of the power of the air. So when there's believers like you, apostles and prophets, pastors and teachers who are able to do what you're doing, take to the airwaves, you're kind of casting down that prince of the power of the air for the time being. And the truth is going forth. So I'm honored that you asked me to come on.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm honored to have you. You know, I knew you were a pretty cool guy just to hang out with those few times that I did. The more I read about you, the more I see that God is using you in an awesome way. And I had to pray today. I was like, it's so much that we can say about you, rephrase it, about what God is doing through you. Will we have enough time? And I believe what needs to be said will be said in the time. Mm-hmm. So praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And let's start off with your favorite scripture or a scripture that the Lord has laid on your heart recently.
Okay. And when you asked me that, I was trying to see if I had actually one scripture that is above all the others on my heart, and there were really two or three. But I would tell you the one that in the present here and now is one I'm arming myself with, and it's Proverbs 24, verse 20, Proverbs 20, 24, verses 11 and 12. And it reads like this: deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12.
Amen. Well, tell us why. I'm hearing a lot in that. But tell us why that's your favorite, or why the Lord has led you with that scripture lately.
Sure. Well, the theme of the verse, there's several sentences, but it would be the first sentence: deliver those, being in this New King James Version, it says being who are being drawn to death. In other verses, it says rescue those who are being delivered to death, hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. So we are to rescue. We are to not sit still. I mean, as as warriors in the army of the living God, and we know our battle is not against flesh and blood. So David wrote this, and he did some rescuing. You know, this was Solomon. I'm sorry, Solomon wrote this. Of course, it was David who had blood on his hands, but nonetheless, Solomon wrote Proverbs. But down through the ages, it's been a lot of times believers who have answered the call to rescue those being led away to death. You know, right now in our country, I mean, you can look at the little living ones inside the womb and how the soul of our nation is at a crossroads between life and death. So I know there's strong feelings on both sides, but
yeah,
the long and short of it is my wife works at a crisis pregnancy center, and every day when a girl comes in torn in her heart and soul between keeping the baby or not keeping the baby, too many times the man is not around. The man has made the wrong choice, and he stuck the woman to have to make this choice. And thank God for the crisis pregnancy centers. I will add, there's over 100 of them that have been assaulted since the overturn of Roe versus Wade. And they're the ones who love these girls, who they're not forcing them not to keep the baby, and they're not convincing them to keep the baby. They're there to love on them and any questions they have. And my wife invariably will ask if they need any prayer, would they like to see the baby. I'll tell you, 9 out of 10 times when a gal sees her baby, she wants to keep her baby. I asked Teresa the other day if of all the ladies who have come into Thrive, St. Louis Crisis Pregnancy Center, if any of them ever regretted having their baby. And she said there was just one. And my wife has worked there for years. So when you rescue someone being led away to death, you're rescuing the mom, because my wife will, part of her testimony is she had an abortion before Jesus came into her life, and it tore her up. She had times she wanted to kill herself. She felt so full of guilt and remorse. And even after she was born again, the thoughts would wrestle, but they weren't just attempting to destroy her. So when we rescue anyone, a little one in the womb, a child like we do in Pakistan, and that'll be in the next another interview with me, where you're going about the work in Pakistan, whether we rescue children from modern day slavery, or anyone, we got to be the brave ones to step in and not look and watch. I'm sure we've all seen people getting beat up in the street. Everyone's standing around with cell phones, right? You know, one of us has to be one who jumps into the fray and doesn't love our life to death, right? And that's why I hold to that verse right now in my present life more than any other verses. Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12. If you say, surely we don't know this, does not he who weighs the heart consider it? We're not allowed to look the other way. We're actually supposed to run at the foe who's trying to take down, who's trying to take someone down to death.
Amen.
That would also mean for justice. We need to be praying for the brave Iranian people. And so who knows? Who knows what any of us have in our life? Anyone we need to rescue, whether they're addicted to something that's going to take them down to death, whether they're in some kind of bad situation, whether there's most of the rescuing of children from sex slavery. You know, these are Christian organizations that do this kind of thing. So it's our calling. We're not supposed to just rest back and wait for the rapture, or wait for the end to come, or wait for God to have vengeance on all our enemies. We're supposed to be the ones who give angels a reason to be sent in the lightning flash to aid those who inherit salvation.
Amen. Very well said. Thank
you. Sorry you asked me for my Bible verse. You didn't ask me to preach.
Well, you know,
hallelujah.
You know, I did so you could expound on it. And, I mean,
yeah.
When someone has a scripture like that, you just don't get a scripture like that just because you were reading through the book of Proverbs, okay?
Right.
And, you know, there are scriptures where God will touch your heart because you're living that thing, you know, and there's passion in your heart for it. So thank you. Thank you for sharing. And, you know, we pray that even the passion that the Lord has placed in your heart will be imparted to all of us, to those who are hearing now. And then those who will hear in the future as well. So, thank you so much for sharing that. And sounds like your wife is perfect for you.
I tell you what, you know, I need to tell you, she's been hard for me. And when I say that, I needed that. She's been a Zipporah for me, standing there with a knife ready to slice my foreskin off if I didn't do what I vowed, if I didn't do what I vowed to her to do, told me she would not marry me unless I vowed to read the word every day. And you know what? I did not keep my vow. I mean, in our workaday world, I don't know how many times I was like, I'm looking at the Bible and I just went and got in the truck, and then I'm thinking, well, I'll get in it tonight when I got home. That never happened. And so on and off through our life, she's like the Jewish woman who kept the candle burning, the mother in Israel, and it never went up. And I was the husband who went lukewarm too much of the time in my walk. And now it doesn't matter what emergency I think is an emergency. I don't leave the house until I've read our daily devotion. You know, we have a read the Bible in a year thing we're doing. So,
amen.
She, when I submit to my mate's adjuring and crying out that I do this, it goes so well between God and me and my wife and me. And when I don't, it doesn't go well with either of them. So, that kind of gives me a litmus test. If I'm walking the walk I'm supposed to walk, and she knows. And she can tell, not because she sees me sitting down and reading the word. She just knows in the spirit that her man is doing what he had vowed to do 36 years ago.
It's 36
and
years.
Getting the word every day. And listen for him.
Hallelujah.
Sit quiet and journal. And so hear what he's got to tell you. Write it down. And I'll be like, yeah, honey, I know. But seriously, I really think, honey, you're right. I know, and I will. You know, it's not like I obey. We're to submit to each other and obey each other. And I've had, as an American man, and when I first came to seminary, you know, the man was ahead and the wife was anointed to bake cookies, and that was about it. But God is raising up women like yourself, because us men kind of drop the staff, you know, in too many ways. And so there's a lot of Deborahs rising up in our country right now as we're speaking right here. Now, I sure don't want my wife to go into battle without me. So,
amen.
I'm saying all that. Because I had to say that, all that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Well, hey, we may have to have Teresa on by herself. She sounds like a wise woman who knows how to be with a wise man. Amen.
I would love that. I'll ask her, but she's too humble sometimes. She's saying, you know, I don't need to do that because others have asked her on. And she says, there's always someone more than me that's got something more than me. I'm like Teresa, I'm sitting across from you. You're telling me things that ought to go around the world. So, but she said, but God has just given me to tell you. And I'm like, wow, okay.
Right.
How should I be? Who am I to be so blessed?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a part where we're going to talk about your family. So you started that part. That's good. Amen.
Yeah.
I like Teresa. I like her a lot. and the married women say, amen.
Yeah.
And
you know,
the ones
she did not
who
get
are looking to get married say, amen, I want one like that.
Oh,
amen.
My gosh.
So
she just had me
tell us about.
Wait.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I
said
was
she almost had
me
played the other night. She was interceding for me in the middle of the basement, in the middle of looking up at God and just interceding. Oh, God, you know, I want my husband. My husband needs to hear from you. Oh, God, like he used to be jealous for you, God, and everything. And she's just going on, and the tears are just welling up in my eyes. I'm like, baby, I'm that man again. I'm that man again. I promise you. And so, yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
are you
I
there?
Know I liked her. Oh. I liked her when I saw her. I think she was at Brother Barry's house. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like her.
Yeah.
Amen. Anointed woman of God.
Team. Oh, she is. She's got a circle of gals. She's had every Thursday tonight. Mother Cooper.
Okay.
Mother Annie Cooper. She's in her 80s, and she and Teresa headed up, and there's several other ladies that come on, and Mother Cooper's house is right at near Page and Union. Big old house. Bank of America took it off from under her. But, you know, she was laying on one of the last mats left in her house. She had fought to keep her house without going into the story of how wrong it was that it was taken from her. She had such a peace with God. And so now she lives between our house and another house. But you know what? She's freed up. She is freed up. She's a minister of the
Amen.
Word. She's a warrior. In her 80s. But anyway, we talked about I have four daughters. You know, so Pastor Charles Ewing, Michael Brown's uncle, who you mentioned earlier. Whenever he calls me or I call him, he says, Philip, the evangelist. With the four daughters who prophesy, how are you? So Philip so he likens me to Philip the evangelist in the New Testament with the four daughters who prophesy. And my four daughters they grew up in schools of the prophets. And my wife is trained in Bishop Bill Hammond's Christian International Schools of the Prophets. And you know what? There were Schools of the Prophets back in Elisha's days. So it's all scriptural. There's so much scripture to underscore it. But my four daughters are wonderful. They're grown now. They're, of course, out of the house, and they're all following God. And so and they know he's real in their lives, and that's so good, so good.
Amen.
Two of them are married, and I have a granddaughter and a grandson from Alyssa, my oldest, and Anastasia, my second oldest. And my daughter, Agatha, is in the Air Force, and my daughter, Lydia, was in charge of 30 people at a big, beautiful outdoor kind of restaurant in California. And I know each of them have strong callings toward these last days. We all do. But it's my wife and I. We're empty nests now, except for Mother Cooper.
Okay.
So.
Amen. Let's back up way back and talk about when you got saved and your salvation
right.
experience.
That happened in, it began in 1983. And it's kind of an embarrassing start, but like Paul said, before Christ, we're all living some more than less debaucherous life. And mine was more than most. And just partying and drinking to excess, and smoking pot, and just selfishly living for myself I was passionate about the environment. I was into saving trees and the elm trees back then. I did have a sensitive side to me, but for the most part, I was in rebellion and just, I tell you what, it was a one night stand, and we met in a bar. And at the time, I had a girlfriend who I thought was going to be my wife, but here I had a one-night stand. And, no. After the one-night stand, I fell in love. I fell in love. And it was probably more falling in lust as that young man that once was me before he died to Christ. But this gal called me up a couple months after the one-night stand, and she said, there's a 50-50 chance I'm carrying your baby. And because we had traded phone numbers. And my heart went into my stomach, and my stomach went into my heart. And all of a sudden, be sure of this, my sin had found me out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just a nervous wreck. I began chain smoking. I was in charge of people in the forestry division of the town I was living in outside of Chicago. I couldn't sleep. I was just terrified. I was just selfishly looking at having a child, and I wasn't ready for a child. Not only that, but I just felt I had just fallen in love with who I thought was my soulmate, and I had to tell her. She could tell I was a wreck, and I told her what had happened. And she, of course, lost interest. And I don't blame her. And so this is just tearing me apart, and it's a good thing it was tearing me apart. She, mm-hmm. But then she could tell I was just not excited about it, and she gave me the option to claim unknown father. She said, you can claim unknown father if you want. And so I went to a pastor who I had respected as a pastor who was very close to me. He was actually even a relative. And I'm just going to leave it at that. And I confessed to him what had happened. And I told him that, and the girl's name was Loretta. I had told him that Loretta had given me the option to be an unknown father. I did not know what unknown father was at the time, but I knew it meant that I didn't have to claim the child. And to my shock, this pastor suggested that I take that I take her up on that offer. And that just bothered me all the more. And thank God my conscience still had conscience left. A girl at work who knew I was a basket case said four words or five words, maybe six, Phil, put it in God's hands. And until that time, no one really had suggested anything. Phil, put it in God's hands. And I'll tell you what, a little light went on, because years earlier, I did go to Awana, where Christ is first. It's like a Christian boys club, a Christian boy scout. And and I had gone and done the altar call, but the next day I was just playing with my old buds and we were just doing wrong things and it never stuck. But when she said, put it in God's hands, I drove home from work that evening. I walked into my house, found a Bible that had been sitting there for a decade from when I was a boy. I picked it up, sat down, flipped it open, and lo and behold, my eyes fell on this verse. Now, before I tell you the verse, she knew that the child inside of her was a son, was a boy. Okay. I guess they had ultrasound back then. I think she knew it was a boy. But whether or not, this is the verse. I thought I somehow knew it was going to be a son. And my eyes alighted on this verse. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. Now, we know what that verse means. Whoever confesses Jesus as Father, whoever denies Jesus does not have the Father. But right then and there, it was like God said, you can't deny the Son. He was taken. It's the only time in my life that a verse has been completely taken out of context, but it was for my salvation. And what were the chances of the Bible flipping over to that, open to that verse? What were the chances? Other than an angel I couldn't see stuck his finger in there or something. And I, in a moment of light and truth, I knew what I had to do. I was like, that's what I have to do. I have to confess the boy. I have to confess the son as my own. That's what I immediately, weights just broke off of me. It was like the room did a complete, it almost looked like it physically turned around, like a 360 degree circle. And my head and my whole body began to turn to God at that moment. And it was a couple, 3-4 weeks later, I had to get away on a 3-day canoe trip down the Mississippi River. It was the craziest canoe trip. And I just had to throw my canoe in there. I had a jar of peanut butter and no extra clothes, and got rained on and soaked on. And one night I was shivering and just, but my heart was flinging open to the Lord of all. And I was just filled with him, and born again, probably on that canoe trip, big time. And I came and my heart was so changed that I was going to confess that son is my own. I, even though she was a pretty girl, but not the one that I would want, the one I imagined living my life with. But I determined in my heart that I would marry her, because we had a child. And I called her up. And I said, Loretta, God wants me to claim that son as my own. Now, up until this point, she was just a mellow gal. But all of a sudden, she kind of laughed. And she, loudly, she said, God, what does God have to do with it? And I was amazed because I thought she'd be happy. But I just got everything to do with it. I didn't know Christian lingo at that time. I just said, God wants me mm-hmm. to claim the boy as my. And might have been 2 or 3 weeks after that, she called me back because I wanted to go in and have the DNA test, but she said, you no need to go in. The other guy had gone in. I'm not going to say his name, but she said he's gone in. It matches up. The son is his. The boy is his.
Wow.
It was almost anticlimactic, but I did breathe a sigh of relief.
Wow.
if the two are possible. Yeah.
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 Well, you know what?
So,
the whole situation really accomplished what it was supposed to accomplish.
It did. It sure did.
Yeah.
It sure did. And so to this, when my wife worked at the crisis pregnancy center, I told her I want to, they're going to start trying to talk with the men, and I need to make myself available to be mm-hmm. there for any man who has impregnated any woman. They are the father. And this is how Satan is killing and destroying families. He's taking the fathers out. He's castrating the souls and spirits of the fathers. And that's why Malachi 4:6 is up on the Big Merford on 70. That's another favorite verse. In the end days, God says, I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a curse. So
wow.
We don't want the city or any cities to be struck with a curse, right? We have to pray.
Yeah.
God, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. I'm so glad he did that for me. So I feel I have an authority and an anointing to pray that. And ask God that.
Amen. But hey, let's stop right now. And, I don't know if anyone's on the line listening now or may listen in the future. And they may be in a situation like that where DNAs are being done, from either side, the mother, the father side, DNA for their children, their grandchildren or something like that right now. And they need someone to pray for them about their situation before they know the outcome. So go ahead and pray that.
Lord God, this political slant about choice, it's really the men who have the life and death choice, not the woman, the men. And Father, I call forth the conscience of men, spirit of lust, the spirit of the age, the spirit of promiscuity, spirit of lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from this world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but whoever would abide in you, we call this city forth and anyone who's listening in their cities, that the truth and love of God would trump the lust of men. That this is the love, not to get what we want when we want it, but to give, like you've given to us. You so loved us that you sent your son, that you, the son, came. You said, behold, a body you've prepared for me. It's written in the scroll of the book. Behold, I come to do your will. Oh, God, we cry out. I cry out for the young men without fathers. Father, that the spirit of Father, the spirit of the Heavenly Father would come down. Oh, God, Malachi 6:7, we're asking, Lord, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, lest you come and strike the land with a curse. And even in this age of or political madness. God be true, and every man a liar, Paul says. Lord, even as you opened that book, it flipped open. My eyes heard your words. They didn't just see them, they heard it. God, let your word go forth and not return void. Lord, let us be brave to speak and not to hold back those going to the slaughter. And we can hold back those not going to the slaughter, God, by calling forth the fathers who just had use a girl, use a woman for their pleasure and walk away. They can't do that. We call them, convict them, God. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
God, who's ever listening just yet, pray in the spirit over your cities.
Yeah.
Over the spirit of death. Because when abortion became legal, the spirit of death was loosed in the United States. I warned a cousin in Ireland 2 years ago. There were protests in the streets, and they finally legalized abortion there. I said, hold it back. The spirit of murder is going to be loosed in your nation. So God, we want to be a people who are called by your name, who humble ourselves and pray, seek your face, that you would hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah.
There's a time to praise and pray and wait on the Lord. And this is a time and age for us to do it. I had a communion with Teresa and a good old friend, Ricky and Deb, mother and daughter. Ricky's ready to go home to be with her king. And, of course, me and Tree and her daughter want to see her healed, of course. But Ricky is like, you know what? I'm ready to go to my king. I'm going to give him a princess wave. She's got a lot of things, in the physical that unless there were major miracles, she could go home any day. But she's so at peace.
Amen.
She's written her books. She's done her ministry. She's ready to go home and be with a king. But the four of us were having communion. It was maybe a month ago. And I'd never had such a communion in my life because we all go through the rote ritual. Sometimes it's a rote ritual. And we try to get our hearts, try to clear our minds. We're like, who's going to say the prayer over the bread? Who's going to pray over the wine? And we try to get in the moment, right? And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But that night, it was simple. It was just the four of us, and we each said a little something about the bread and broken body of Christ, and then we each shared about the blood. Not much was said, but we sat in silence. And that's awkward, right? Because you feel like, oh, this is kind of weird. Maybe one of us should say hallelujah or something. but we sat in silence. And we all, I don't know how long it happened, but we could have probably sat like that all night. It seemed like an eternity, even though it was maybe several minutes. And we all felt the presence of the Lord
hallelujah.
At the table with us. Like, None of us have in a long time, if ever. So I think we have that special place we can be, where we can just sit in silence together. You know, it almost, and this is why I said do this often, in remembrance of me. And if we think about it, it's one just the most simple. Now, a lot of religions have the rituals, and of course we don't call ours a religion, we call it a relationship, but it doesn't get any simpler than that. The bread and the wine signifying his broken body and his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. Anyway.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, there is something special about being able to sit in silence and being at peace.
Sitting. Amen.
And you know, with the Lord in the midst. So it really is. And in this day and time, sometimes it's more difficult to do that than not. And you know, and the Lord has been telling me, you know, don't be afraid of the silence. You know, don't be afraid of silence. In radio land, silence is like you said, like an eternity. It's like, well, where is everybody?
Yeah.
Nobody's saying anything.
You don't want anyone to shut off and turn away. You know, you got to entertain, got to entertain, got to keep them going.
Well, you know, I gotta let people know, yeah, I'm still here. We're still here. But you know, in a setting like that, that's beautiful to be able to sit in silence and be okay with it. Not only to be okay with it, but to just be in that moment in the presence of the Lord. That's a very special.
We don't
time.
Have to. Perform, you know, we don't have to perform for him.
Right.
He didn't perform for us. He just loved us to the death. Ah, creator of the cosmos. What's for that?
Hallelujah.
What God? Lord. What God? Who is like our God? We can say that.
Amen.
There's no one.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm somewhere with this for a second. But I know we're kind of off topic, but it's okay. We're on his topic. When I pray and I lay out in the presence of God, it has been a time, and I'm not saying it's going to take everybody a long time, but, you know, for me it took a while to be able to get into his presence, stop the things going on in my mind, thinking this, that, but just let them settle down, you know, like sediment that's in water, and let it, let all of that settle down, and then, you know, just his presence rises up, and that he doesn't say anything to me, I don't say anything to him, but when everything is done, there's a great big download that has been done, you know, like in computer land in the background. And so the foreground is just us, just, you know, just being together. And then, you know, many times I can even perceive his presence moving around in me, not my heartbeat. Mm-hmm. I know that some people meditate, they meditate on their heartbeat. This is not heartbeat. Okay. This is the presence of God, you know, moving, ebbing, and flowing like kind of sort of like water to my body all over my body, that I can perceive his move like that and then just rest in his presence. And that's like a good time. Amen. And then he downloads things into me, you know, what he wants me to know. And I know it past, I know words, but I know it past words as well. And That's awesome. And to be able to sit in a group, you know, four people, and to be able to be in silence as you're going through sweet, wonderful
unity,
communion.
Right.
That,
right. Wonderful. That's what moves him is like oil. Psalm 133, like oil. Oil running down Aaron's head, running down his beard, down his garments. Your brothers and sisters who dwell in unity, for it's there that the Lord commanded a blessing, life forever.
Hallelujah.
You know, to segue into hearing from the Lord in silence, I want to add something. Lately, you know, all my life, I've been like, whether it's creating or working or doing, I could never really bring myself to sleep a full 7 or 8 hours because I thought, what a waste of time laying down in a bed and not doing anything. And so I would only in the middle of doing something. But as I get older now, all time is in his hands. Lord, teach me to number our days that we may commit to you a heart of wisdom. You know, rest is a blessing. It's not a waste. I can't believe I had that mindset, even as a Christian. And he gives his beloved sleep, and he speaks to us in dreams.
Yeah.
And my wife and I kind of have this joke. She doesn't get the dreams. I do get spiritual dreams. If I get 7 or 8 hours, I wake up with some God dreams. My wife rarely has them. She's disappointed. She still gets some crazy dreams, but she jokes. She says, at least I can hear the Lord without being unconscious. And God actually said that. He says, you know, somewhere in the Word, he says, you know, some people, because they can't hear from God during the day, their waking hours, he gives them dreams. And so my dad used to tell me, son, take a notebook to bed with you, and that way you're telling your subconscious you're going to remember your dream. My dad had all kinds of cool dreams. I mean, he had discussions with Abraham Lincoln and George Washington.
Wowie. Wow.
But we want to discuss. But anyway, the Lord speaks, and we have his presence, like you say, and then we come out of his presence in silence and quietness, and somehow we're just filled with his glory, and we don't know what he's going to do with it, but we know that we are in him and him in us, and so he gives us that seal. But then there's other times that he speaks to us in mysteries, whether it's a prophecy or from another brother or sister to a brother or a sister, or a tongue and an interpretation, or a little sign. You know, it might be a bird that flies a certain way over your head, and you know that God just touched you somehow with that butterfly or whatever, because he uses his creation. He also has given us the stars for signs and seasons. And the Magi used them to follow him to the Christ. But
amen.
Dreams, when he gives us a dream, there's something only he could know and we could know. No one could have known that. They're like, it's like a child in a puzzle. We get to kind of contemplate and figure it out and go from there. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent.
Yeah, we're way out. We're way out. You know, we're
way
out.
Off topic. I realize,
but it's good. It's good. Now, this is usually around the time where we open up the line, so that you can have comments, questions, prayer requests, and I dare say prophecy requests. Amen.
Okay.
Now, also, I want you to know that Brother Phil, he has prayed for people to be healed, okay? And we haven't gotten to that part yet. But he has gone to Pakistan. He laid hands on a man who had never heard and who had never spoken. His tongue was loose and his ears were opened. If you want some healing, press your number one key. Amen. You want a word from the Lord? I'm sure he'll give the word if as the Lord gives it to him. So press your number one key. Now, before we do that, and I see two people with their number one key pressed already. Of course, Pastor Mom, get yourself ready to pray for my mama, okay? So anyway, let's find out about your water baptism experience and your being filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to have that recorded, at least that. And then
I'll make this short. I can keep this short. Teresa and I, we had a choice to go to Jamaica. I mean, it was our own choice. We were either going to go to Jamaica for our honeymoon or Wisconsin. We chose Wisconsin because I was still, I was still afraid of airplanes, even though I climbed tall trees, right? I was afraid because I've been in tree work for 46 years. But we went to Wisconsin. But on the way back from Wisconsin, the most glorious time was visiting my grandma, Evelyn Barwick. We visited her in her northern Indiana home, and we would just sit at the table and talk about Jerusalem or talk about the end times and just drink her sassafras tea. And we were just in the Lord. You know, my grandmother, all of a sudden I had something in common with her because she was born again. She was the only one of all the Barwick clan who I knew at the time was truly born again. And not only that, so here's the kicker. We went to her church, which was meeting in a bar on Sunday, and here's Grandma dancing in the aisle with a tambourine. And my jaw was dropped, and I was thinking, I got to have what Grandma has. And so that night I asked her about it, and she told me all about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues, of course, which we know is the least of these gifts. But it is a sign, and it is a gift.
Amen.
And a lot of us try real hard, too hard, and it doesn't mean that we don't have it. I think people can have the Holy Spirit, and it's just the tongues thing comes after a period of time where it's our pony motor. Someone explained it. It's where we don't have the words. We groan, like Paul says, groaning and travailing. You know, groaning and travailing, and it just turns into bubbler, bubbler, bubbler. Baby talk sometimes. Right? Yeah.
So now,
and it's foolish. It sounds foolish to others. But that was how it happened. So when, and I shared with you last week when we were talking about how you're going to have me on four Thursdays in a row, and I explained to you when I went to get water baptized, all of her little church was standing on that dock, and the dock broke with us all standing on it. And fortunately, I don't think anyone but me fell in the water, and I was glad of that, you know. So I fell in the water. Everyone else is standing there holding on to each other. It was such a funny sight. The dock broke, and it just hit the water, but I was the only one that fell off, and everyone was, so it was pretty interesting.
I just need to hear the rest of the story. The baptism, did they finally get you out of the water and put you back in? What happened?
No, I think
that was
it.
Or they figured you had done it already.
Yeah. I don't remember. I don't remember. It was such a shock. I don't remember. But
let's go back to your grandmother real quick so we can open up the lines. Did you begin praying in tongues when your grandmother told you, or it happened later?
No, it happened later. It happened later.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
That, but you were filled with the Holy Spirit. So, amen.
Yeah.
And you have the evidence, not only the speaking in tongues, but all that you've been doing. That's definitely God. So thank
Jesus
you so much.
You're welcome. We know a tree by its fruit, Jesus says, and if anyone is discouraged because they can't, don't have a tongue like it, don't be discouraged. Just sing, you know, sing to each other in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. So you can be going, just singing, just like the birds, you know, just without the words. And then the bubbling will come. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So like you were saying, you sit silent before the Lord, and sometimes it's just a bubble that comes up, and the tongue will start moving. It was like when I prayed over that man, and his tongue was loose for the first time in his life. He's going, this might sound foolish to everyone. It sounded foolish to all of us except him. He was hearing his voice, you know, and I'm trying to get him to say hallelujah for the first time, because I said hallelujah into his ears. And I had a sweet, sweet brother in Christ who was Sam Paul Gokanakonda, who was a Christian East Indian himself, and I used to be on his board, and for years before I had my own thing going in Pakistan, and he used to tell me how he'd heal. Jesus would heal the palsied and the sick and the deaf, and he'd speak hallelujah into their ears. So I did the same thing when I was in Pakistan. I said, okay, this is what Sam Paul did. I stuck my fingers in his ears. I prayed in Jesus' name. Lord, I shut it. And there's something about praying in tongues too. There is a power when you lay your hands on someone and you can say, oh, you know, I command this or I command. It kind of falls flat. But when you really start praying in tongues, it seemed to me that whenever I lay my hands and I prayed in tongues, that's when a manifestation came and I caught many a person who was falling over. But when I prayed and I went and said hallelujah in this man's ears, and he started going, making noises, his countenance just lit up, and I was trying to get him to say hala, and go haya, hallelujah, acha, hallelujah, acha, you know,
hallelujah.
You know how to say hala. Yeah. So
awesome.
Maybe a different way of coming, you know, it's funny. I just tried to tell you something, and I just went off in the tongue. It would maybe help somebody out there who's trying too hard to speak in tongues. It's just giving a sound and dedicating a sound to the Lord, right?
Hallelujah.
Because tongues isn't just the dark side does tongues, but it's not dedicated to another, to spiritual forces of darkness. So it courted in the Word of God that these are the gifts of the Spirit, and they are to be used. And the power has not been in the churches of the world like it could be, because this is not the outcome, brethren, when you gather together, one as a song, one as a hymn, one as a spiritual song, one as a teaching, one as a tongue, one as an interpretation. No, we sit and we look at the back of each other's heads, and we listen to someone preach ad nauseum for 45 minutes. Now, I don't want to sound really sacrilegious, having said that, because there are preachers and teachers, and we all have been so saturated with the Word of God, being able to sit under them and listen. But it's been like a two-dimensional course meal, teachers, pastors and teachers.
Well,
the apostles and the prophets and the prophets and apostles and evangelists, you know, have kind of been, well, that was way back then. But a church is not fully functioning unless all five are working. And I'm sorry, I'm getting into something that I'm sure you've already preached and teached on. But if we're ready for callers who need prayer,
yeah, we're ready for that. We're 15 minutes into being ready. But what I want to say is, you know, since the pandemic, everything, of course, everything was shut down then. the church left the building. And so a lot has happened since then, and the half has yet to be told of what has happened. Amen.
Right.
So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And we're going to open up the lines. Hallelujah. We're going to open up the lines. And first, we're going to open it up for Pastor Mom, if she's still awake. My mom, Pastor Mom, is 90 years young. And hallelujah. And she's still the senior pastor of the East St. Louis Christian Center Church this every Sunday at 11 a.m. And I'm apostolic pastor. So opening up the line for Pastor Mom. And my sister, Pastor Catherine, is there as well. And just to let you know, my mom had 7 children. 6 of us are licensed and ordained ministers. 1 was an usher, and she went home to be with the Lord first so that she could help usher us in when we got there. Amen. So here's my mom. Pastor Mom.
Yes, I'm glad to meet you this day. And listen to the man talking today, that was very good. And I thank the Lord for that. And like, I can just sit back and look and think and everything. I just very, very grateful, very.
Hallelujah.
And I have a good mother, too.
I want to visit your church, Pastor. What did she say?
I have a good mother, too.
She has a
good
mother, too. A good memory. Okay. So,
is that what she said?
Pastor Mom is going through.
Yes.
I'll go on.
I'm supposed to pray for you. Yeah, I think you're supposed to pray for me.
I'm supposed to pray for you.
Oh,
I can.
Yeah. Go ahead, Pastor Mom.
Pray for all of us.
Yeah, pray
You're
for all of us.
Senior sister. Go ahead, Pastor Mom.
Okay. Hey, Heavenly Father, I pray for all the people that's in me. And I thank you, Lord, for being with me and standing by me. Hold me in my hands. And Lord, just bless them. The best of them, this soul, Father, his wife and his children. And that is good for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
God, you're precious in your sight, Lord. As I hear this aged saint speak, your words, each word is like a pearl. It's like nuggets of gold and settings of silver. As we to hear a saint declaring your goodness, and it revives us. It gives us knowledge that without you, we are but dust. But those of us closer to becoming dust than some of the others of us, right up to the time where our eyes fail, our ears fail, our movements get slower, up until the last breath, someone like Pastor Mom can still speak forth the oracles of you, God, and send devils screaming away. I pray. Is she on the east side of that river? Your church? On the east side of the Mississippi? Is that where you guys are?
It's called East St. Louis, but it's in St. Louis.
Okay.
It started 32 years ago in East St. Louis, but now it's in St. Louis, Missouri.
All right. Well, then she has spiritual authority in East St. Louis, too. And God, I pray you preserve Pastor Mother for these end days.
Yeah, thank
you. I hear the word. I I hear the word heroic. I hear the word heroic. I hear the word heroic.
Oh, okay.
That you're a hero in a heroine, and your words don't have to be many, but they are powerful for the pulling down of strongholds, Pastor Mom.
Praise God. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
And here is
Pastor.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here in the airwaves tonight. What about you got a sister, Karen, you said there?
Catherine. Praise God.
Catherine.
Yes, brother.
What would you like prayer for, Sister Catherine?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you in a minute, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you for your service on tonight. And
you're welcome.
I had a question.
Sure.
For you here. I thought when you came on that you were going to give the Malachi 4:6 because I thought that was your favorite scripture. And but when you brought up the proverb, I said, Where is Malachi? What happened to Malachi? So I thank you for letting us. I didn't quite hear all of it. I think I was doing something, and I didn't quite hear all of it. But I think it was the reason when the young lady was pregnant. You thought the young lady was pregnant with your child. Is that the reason you?
Right.
Uh huh. That was one of my husband's, my late husband's scripture, too. But you know, his was because many of the young men didn't have fathers.
And right.
His idea was that God would, you know, give many of the children that didn't have fathers, that they would be fathers to the children that didn't really have fathers. But
yes, Lord. You know, I'm looking at it, sister. I just opened up Malachi 4:6. It is literally the last sentence in the entire Old Testament. The Old Testament ends with Malachi 4, chapter 4, verse 6. I mean, if you read all of 4, it's only 6 verses.
Right.
For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant, every evildoer will be chaff, and the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings.
Yeah.
And you will go forth. You will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. We used to have sheep on our farm, and they would skip like that. And you will tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. Here we go, verses 5 and 6. The last two sentences in the entire Old Testament, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I am coming to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse.
Praise God. Well, I wanna just say, you know, when I pass by the billboard, sometimes I forget to look up, and most of the time when I look up at the billboard, I'm asking God to let many of the father's eyes just be focused upon that and go home and be curious about what it says. So I just want to say thank you. And what I wanted to ask, do you own that billboard? Because it's been there for several years.
I know. No. And I was trying to find who the owner was. So I got up there. It's a big four-story building. you can't tell its immense size from Highway 70, but I tried to find out who owned it. There was a for sale number, and they told me to call another number. Then that number told me to call another number. So I found out it had gone bankrupt, and so I figured, well, that's my billboard. It was just a derelict billboard.
Praise God.
and so, you know, before my daughter had been terrorized on that stretch of highway, and so I put a big Murford up there saying, and he was saying, drive nice. I don't remember if you remember that. I had my big tree tune, my Murph saying, drive nice. And then this one gang, the Lowdowns, they were always attacking my Murford paintings. So they wiped that out, but I got back up there, and I put a big Murford up there, and I wanted him to say welcome to St. Louis with his arms stretched out. But my heart, the Holy Spirit did not allow me to do that. I sought the alderman of that area of St. Louis at the time, and I asked him what was on his heart and what burdened him, and what burdened him was all the young men dying, the young boys and young men getting shot and shooting. And what tore him up more than anything was they were fatherless. And so that, combined with two other brothers, I asked their counsel. Again, I wanted to say welcome to Missouri, but by the time I talked to these three men, and they were all black, and the alderman wasn't a personal friend of mine, but he was black, and a good friend of mine was black, and my best friend is black, and he lives near that billboard, and the consensus I got was that this was what was taking down the city, was absent fathers. Satan was taking it down by taking the fathers out. And even the political demons these days are trying to take their mass, you know, they're just trying to take the fathers out. And in various ways. And so Malachi was starting to burn into my soul and spirit, Malachi 4:6. And would you know that with all the times I had gone up and down those large staircases in that big old abandoned factory, Rock of Gibraltar, on the day that I went up to actually put Malachi 4:6, for the first time in my life, I started seeing the number 4:6. It was stenciled in that factory. It was stenciled as I was walking up the stairs. I saw 4:6. 4:6. And I had never seen that. So it was like God was confirming, yes, not putting welcome to Missouri. Murford's going to be declaring Malachi 4:6.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Wow, that's a wonderful testimony. Wow.
Thank you.
Well, I I have to look at that because I thought that it was a billboard. I did not know it was a building. I have to look at it a little closer then.
Yeah. It's on the top.
I guess I'm just looking at this.
I know. Because the highway sits up high, way high over this building.
Okay.
And then a funny thing happened. I drove into an alleyway where an old man worked on trucks, and he used to work on my trucks, and there was a gal there with a pickup truck, and she saw one of my wooden Murfords hanging onto my pickup truck. She says, you're the guy that paints those? And I said, yeah. She said, you painted my billboard. Murford's on my billboard. I'm sorry. I didn't know you owned the building. She said, I love it. So it turned out that her brother had absconded he had robbed the entire family, and what the stunt that he pulled just killed the business and just shut the business down. He had just robbed the entire company, And this little gal is fighting to retain the building. She's still fighting the city of St. Louis over it. They have just thrown every monkey wrench her way. They're just wanting that building. But she is saving it, saving it. It's her inheritance. She grew up helping her father build that business. And she was not going to, the evil son had already robbed the family. She was not going to let the city of St. Louis rob her inheritance. And she finally has a buyer for that building. And he has great plans for that building.
Great.
Wonderful plans that'll bless the entire region there. Wonderful plans. This is a multi. It's huge. It is a huge building. Multi idea plans. He's a successful guy.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much. It's a blessing for this. It's a blessing for this area. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm
glad it fills the atmosphere with that. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
You asked me what I want prayer for. So this weekend I'm supposed to go and see. I don't know how far I am with this, but I want to say I want to go see one of the last generations right now that I know of from my grandmother's family, and I have never met them, and so I'm being led to go down and meet them this weekend. And I just want God to just kind of bring us, kind of give us some type of relationship together. I don't know who all knows God down there, but I want to get a relationship because I do know that there was one generation that kind of died out, and they really didn't know God, and so. I just want to kind of go down and maybe I can plant a seed in somebody's heart there.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God. We ask you for this, Lord Jesus. It's just, you know, family is what you created. The new family, a nucleus of your creation. And we ask you to restore, to raise up the old foundation of generations for this sister. And as she walks into the presence of her own flesh and blood, that there is a coming together of hearts and minds, and she does not have to worry. She's coming back home, coming back to the core. We all, family is a gift. It's a gift you've given to harbor and be able to be ourselves, and that there be no division, and it just be love to permeate when her family comes together. And we pray that for all of us. All of us. Somehow we think that we can. You've given us family, and we pray that we all look at this as a great gift it is to nurture each other and to love each other. And each of us has feelings. Each of us has needs to be loved, to be wanted. We pray for those who need this, that those of us who can give it, I pray Sister Catherine can go there with the idea to give the love. And even if she can't feel the receiving of it at first, that she would be at peace. Like Paul says, oh, no man anything but love.
Yeah,
and I pray that for Sister Catherine and for all of us in these last days.
Yeah.
Oh, no man anything but love.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much here. And God bless you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you.
And thank you too here.
You're welcome.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we have two people who have their number one key press. We'll go to Minister Rachel. This is my goddaughter from New Jersey. And then we'll go to Pastor Price from Memphis. So,
okay.
Who is my sister? Amen. From Memphis. Anyone else? You still have an opportunity to press your number one key. Amen. Minister Rachel, welcome.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to thank God for having the men of God pray for fathers. Because, we need the fathers to step up to do what's right.
Yes.
So I thank God for that prayer. And God's been a father of all fathers to me and my family. So
wonderful.
He's been holding me up for years. So,
you know,
it would be a good thing that fathers would, when they make children,
yes,
they don't realize they're accountable for those precious lives. And
right,
when they up and leave, it hurts. The Bible says for a reason, and ye fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They really do need to do that, because
yes,
to leave it to
we
us,
can't.
It's, and yeah, I really got angry at when Father's Day come around, because people would say, Happy Father's Day, and I say, I'm not a father. I never was. I'm a mom.
Mm.
And the only day I celebrate is Mother's Day.
Oh, Jesus. Too many moms have had to celebrate Father's Day, God. As a father, they were the father and the mother to the child. Satan, you're a liar and a thief. We cancel you out. That the father's hearts will turn to the children. Right now we're speaking this. We're believing this together. One can send 1,000. Two can send 10,000. Three or four of us can send hundreds of thousands to flight right now. Fathers, wake up, be terrified before the great and terrible day of the Lord, lest he come and strike our land with a curse. And we want to turn back the onslaught at the gate. In Jesus' name, there's another verse, and I'm going to speak this verse. Scotch taped to my door, and my wife accidentally locked me out. So I'm going to speak it. I never try to memorize it, but it's in my spirit. He shall be a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment. A strength to those who repel the onslaught at the gate. He shall be, for those who sit in judgment, a strength to those who repel the onslaught at the gate. I'm not sure where that is, but when we were poor and living in a trailer, we scotch taped that verse to the door. When we moved to our farm, God gave us before Bank of America took it, we scotch taped that verse to our door. And now in Ferguson, scotch taped to our door is that verse. He shall be a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, a strength to those who repel the onslaught at the gate. So we need to repel. We repel this onslaught at the gate. Government is not to take the place of fathers, especially
Amen.
Godless government. Godless government, whether it's on the right or on the left, is not to take the place of fathers, we declare.
Amen. Because God's been taking good care of us.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. That's Isaiah 28 and verse 6.
Okay, you found it.
Isaiah
8
and verse 6. Amen. Amen. You did pretty good with that.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, go ahead and read it all. Go ahead and read it all.
Okay. I have it in the New King James. What version did you have it in? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. New King James says, for a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment. Well, before that it says, in that day, the Lord of hosts will be a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people. For a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate.
There it is. I like that better.
Amen. Yep.
Who turn back the battle at the gate. So that's where we're at, ladies. That's where we're at, believers. We're not those who shrink back. Because God's soul does not delight in those who shrink back. And they're going to hate us anyway. And it's not that we're trying to get anyone to hate us, but we're to be bold as a lion. It's
they don't like they don't like to hear the truth, but we got to stand in truth and keep spreading the truth no matter what.
It's amen, 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 sister. It's the wicked who flee when no one's pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as a lion and a lioness.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We just
Amen.
Want to take down. We just want to do, God, what you have given for us to do. And somehow it's a mystery that you would use the likes of us to sow forth your glory to the principalities and powers of darkness. And we know they could chew us up and spit us out. But thank God for God. Because greater is you who is in us than he who is in the world.
Mm-hmm. That's why you keep us standing. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. That great, wonderful mystery.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God bless you and your family. And God bless you with a Proverbs 31:10 woman.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yes. Oh. And you was just praising and honoring God for her, as I heard what you said. I said, God, just need with a husband to do that for me. Because even when I was married, that did not happen. It was a lot of verbal.
Well, we had some rough times. We've gone through counselors 3 times.
But at least you fought for your marriage.
I did.
I had someone just walk away and just gave up and left me with the children, and I was scared.
Oh, no.
I lost my job. I had to sell my vehicle. So much stuff was happening to me all at once. I was like, God, what's happening?
Blindsided
me, waves and the things, but God got me through it. And he blessed me to write a book, and I'm believing him that sales for that book to go better. And then he blessed me to do a cookbook, and now the blood of Jesus against the enemy. Now he attacking my laptop. My laptop won't charge. It's been on 7%. And I'm like, God, help me. I got to get on my laptop to type the book. It's just a lot of stuff. More waves coming, and then dodge my life jacket.
Let's pray over you. Let's pray over you. What's the name of your book?
Hello? Whatever you have, cookbook. It's whatever you have, cookbook, because it's whatever I have in my pantry and stuff like that. I make certain meals and things like that, and whatever I'm able to buy with, like, very little money. My income is not big, and I don't get public assistance at all. I'm just leaning on God for the rest of my day.
So you wrote some kind of cookbook? Is that what you're saying? You wrote a book?
I'm not finished with it. I still have some more pages.
So interesting because in the last days, we just might not have a plethora of foodstuffs. And so, Father, I pray over that book that this sister and I've been to Pakistan and I've seen how they have to have joy in cooking over dried cow poop and sticks. And yet they're able to make roti bread from dough, from scratch, with a little bit of this and that they have. They can make a tasty dish. And I pray here in America, we got every kind of cookbook with every kind of fancy-dancy food known to man. But this sister is putting something together, like the widow who just had a couple cups of oil left, that, Lord, I pray, even as Elijah prayed over, and all of a sudden she had plenty, that we pray over not only the sister's book, she's able to, that there's an anointing on this book. There's the loaves and fishes anointing on this book, because with a little bit that you've given us, a lot we can give.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. And for a second, I thought I was knocked off of the call, but I guess it was just a silence before the Lord. And we touched that laptop. You energize. You heal that laptop. It's not a foolish thing to ask for you to do that. You can just do anything. There's nothing impossible for you.
Yes,
you would turn the thought of least, and that as this sister is working on her cookbook, even as she is showing from the little bit in the cupboard how they can come together for a feast fit for a king, that the little bit in our lives, in her life, where it looks like things, cupboards are going empty, that her, the spirit man within her, spirit woman within her, with the little bit that she thinks she has, be a mustard seed of faith growing in her in a mighty way. To whom much is given, much is expected. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, God. You're worthy.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
God bless
you.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
God,
when we are weak, you are strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what you, Lord, have done for us.
Amen.
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 Because thank God for his wealth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
No, I said his wealth is what's been sustaining us.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. All right. Have a blessed night.
Oh, and God bless you, Grandma.
Amen.
God bless you.
God
bless you. God bless you.
Still, maybe one or two more. If you have anything else you want to say, pressure number one key quickly. We're going to open a line for Pastor Price. Welcome.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Welcome, Pastor Price.
God bless you, Apostle Kizzy, and to Brother Phil and Pastor Mom and Pastor Catherine and Minister Rachel and all of the precious saints in your respective places. I just thank God for each one of you, and I truly thank God for tonight. Brother Phil, when I knew that, when I learned that you were going to be the speaker for tonight, I went to do some research and to look up the ministry and to look up, different things in the ministry. And I saw that you had been here to Memphis and that you had brought Murford here to Memphis. And And I was.
You really dug.
Yeah, it didn't take a lot to dig. I mean, it just came up because I guess I live in Memphis, so it came up about. And I said, "Oh, that's so wonderful!" And I can remember seeing those. And so I was thanking God for you being able to come down to Memphis, Tennessee. And so I was just excited tonight. The way that usually that Apostle does on Get 'Em is that she does ask for people who want prayer, one who want prophecies, but she also gives us a chance to be able to make comments about and to encourage the person who ministered, because sometimes it's very new to do this. And one of the things when you listen to the beginning of the service as the Get 'Em radio is coming on, it talks about catapulting a ministry to the next dimension. And each one of us that have come on Get 'Em Radio, I've been on Get 'Em Radio and ministered a few times on Get 'Em. But the very first time I moved from Los Angeles and coming into Memphis, Tennessee, we had a church in Los Angeles, New Hope Outreach Center Church, and God began to instruct us to move down to Memphis. And we started Memphis Covenant Faith, and that's been now right at about 10 years ago. But when we first, I said, Lord, do you still want me to do and go forth? What do you want me to do during that time? And it was then that God blessed that Apostle asked us to be on, like he did with you, to be on the Get 'Em Radio program. And as a matter of fact, this is so wonderful because next month will be the tenth anniversary of Get 'Em Radio. And so I was one of the first ones to be on that radio program, but it also catapulted our ministry to the next dimension of beginning Memphis Covenant Faith Church. And so as I was listening to you, the thing that I heard by the Lord in the Spirit was, he said, as a result of him being on this program, that he's catapulting him and his wife's ministry and this ministry, because your heart is for, the Lord showed me, he said, your heart is for ministry. That's why when you gave the scripture, and that scripture in Proverbs 24, deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? And that could be negative, and that could be positive, rendering each man according to his deeds. And what I saw about with you was, is that the doors of utterance that God has given you, whether it be little or big, you go get a box. When my sister was in the store, go get a box for two people, and you drew Murphy on it. So wherever you can put it up, you've been putting up mercy. And when we're faithful in a few things, God will make us, as you know, rule over much. And there are things that God has been preparing you for. That's what I saw tonight. He's been preparing you for. I thought about when you talked about your wife and Sister Teresa. I really thank God for Sister Teresa, because I said this and I've said it before on this program. My husband was raised in down here in the Memphis area. And I know I say it a lot, but I'm going to say it again because the Holy Spirit is leading me to say it again. Because God, sometimes we want people that are just like us, exactly like us. What I mean is we want somebody that will do it the way we do it. Some people do, not everybody. But what my husband would tell me, he said, being raised up on a farm, he said they never put two horses or two mules that are the same together. But, you know, like you have two fast mules, you never put two fast mules together. You never put two fast horses together. He said, because if you do, they'll run on off. You never put two slow mules together, two slow horses together, because they won't get the work done. But what you do is if you have a fast mule, the fast mule, you put it with a slow mule, and the fast mule causes that slow mule to come on up, and the slow mule will pull that fast mule back, and they'll begin to walk at an even gait. And so I thought about how when you would go out, and the Lord would have for your wife to be the one to say, whoa, come on back. You got to read that word. Stay in that word. And I could see it as you were giving your testimony today, as you were ministering in your testimony, how through that word, I see you, a man of the word. You're not a baby. I see the seasonedness upon you. Even down to the point when you were talking about the rituals, how people have, you know, they have religion and rituals, and religion is not a bad thing. James 1:27, it's not a bad thing, because it is, there's a widows and orphans in their affliction, and the key ourselves on spotted in the world. But ours is a relationship. And when you said that, it so ministered to my heart that it's about a relationship. Then as I watched you and you took your journey today and giving the parts that you do, I saw the seasonedness of God down on the inside. I saw the love of God that is upon your heart, even in the verse that you had, the love to have the heart of God, to want to do his will. So I was praising God for that. I also was thanking God tonight, not only that he gave you the perfect wife for you, I praise God for that. And then he also has given you such a personality that you're so candid and so transparent. I mean, it's just a breath of fresh air. It's just a wonderful, it was wonderful in the spirit to listen to you tonight. And you didn't try to sugarcoat it. You went on and told what happened back there. Hallelujah. And it was just a blessing. Yes. And I thought about how even I could just see it. I pray that God will give you to write even more books and things, because when you were talking about how when you, that thing that had happened with the young lady, and how you were so candid and so transparent about it, and then you begin to talk about going out on that canoe trip. I could just see you with your jar of peanut butter, with no extra clothes, rain coming all down on you, and you giving your heart, hallelujah, and your life to Jesus Christ. Glory to God. But then even you had purpose in your heart that you were going to marry Loretta. You said, I'm going to just marry Loretta. You were willing to do it. You went to her. You talked to her. But then you found out that the baby was not yours. And then you were even honest enough to say, I sighed a sigh of relief. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I was thanking the Lord for the, because God will raise up. God needed a brother Phil. He needed a sister Teresa. He needed to put them together, you all together, so that you all could walk the gate and the stride and the spirit that you need to walk in.
Thank you.
And I give glory to God for that. So my heart tonight was so very blessed. I'm looking forward for the next few weeks, because that thing about the children that you minister to over there in Pakistan, it touched my heart. It touched my heart. Mm. I've been to India, and I've had a chance to see poverty like I had never seen before. I thought that they had poverty in America. I thought they had poverty in America. We know about it. What I saw over in India, I wasn't in Pakistan, but what I saw in India, I've never seen such things in my life. And they had told me, they said, now look, I went over as a missionary. They said, do not take money. I do not give it to them. Because if you do, they're going to surround you and pack up on you. And I went on and I gave money. And what did I do that for? People with legs off, no legs, and maybe one leg, and people that were just, they just packed around me during that time. And I've never seen, and what was so amazing to me, Brother Phil, was I've never seen, I don't know if the word is juxtaposition or if it might be paradoxical. I don't know if that's the word you would use. But to see, and while I was there, the poor, poor, poor people, and then to see the rich, rich, rich people. I was walking in both, on one part, you see all of this poverty and all of these gods that they that's the true and living God, but all the pans, gods made out of skillets, black skillets, and cows walking around everywhere, and all of these kind of things that we're able to see in India. So when I was looking at when you went into Pakistan, and I'm beginning to see when them babies have to get up at 3 something in the morning. To do those bricks, to make bricks, 3 something in the morning, so they could be in the cool of the day, to beat the heat. And they start off how young? I know you're going to go through this later on, but how young do they start off doing those bricks and turning those bricks and doing that? How young, Brother Phil?
Oh, well, you know, I have so much video. When they're children, there's jobs, and they're all working 10 to 12 hours a day, and there's certain scraping of the ground that the children do. The children get on these piles of bricks and flip the bricks and flip the bricks all day long, because the bricks have to be flipped. So they bake in the sun several days in a row. And probably about 9, 10, 11, they're starting to be able to do what the mom and dads do with their hands and form the bricks and make the bricks. And they... all day long, the same motions, all day long.
I saw a baby on one of the videos. I saw a child that was like 3 or 4 years old, looked like 3 or 4 years old, that was turning those bricks. And then one more thing with that, how that I was reading that, I think it was 1992, where they had passed child labor laws, but the prime minister, I've forgotten her name, but she was assassinated, and the law was never put into practice.
Well, you know what? The law is still on the Constitution of Pakistan. It just has no teeth. It's a lame law.
Yes.
The wonderful prime minister's name was Benazir Bhutto, a woman prime minister in a male-dominated, Muslim-dominated country. That was unheard of. And she fought hard and she and some other humanitarians in Pakistan, some that aren't alive anymore today, they passed what's called the bonded labor system abolition act of 1992. So bonded labor is a form of modern day slavery. It's the only place, and I'll talk more about this next session because there's so much to talk about. But you mentioned it. And child labor is illegal, but it's never enforced. So we go over there, and one of my goals is to get the minority Christians angry enough and realizing they have authority in God to hold back those being led away to slaughter. And it's amazing the doors that open when we're brave, when we don't fear any man. Not that we're going in audaciously and kicking anyone off, but we are not to hang our head. They are not to hang their heads like the blacks used to have to do in our nation, right? The minority Christians over there, because there's still racism if someone's skin is browner than someone else's, but that's what Satan does, his damnedest then, right? It's getting a brother to hate another. But we have the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to know. That's what minority Christians need to know in other countries. So I'll discuss more about the breakthroughs that are happening over there in Pakistan. But I wanted to go back to what you said about India. There is such a – the caste system is so demonic. And I at the beginning was saying how I was on a board to a mission to Pakistan, to India at the time. I never went to India like you did, but Sam Paul Gokhanakonda would come back, our president of the board, and we rescued children. 1,000 churches were built, and the church doubled as orphanages. When a widow would come to Christ, if she was in a Hindu family, she got put out in the street to die. And wow. This blew my mind. We had so many widows. We weren't just rescuing children. We were rescuing widows who were put out in the street to die. Now, the caste system is so demonic. So we minister to the Dalits. They're the lowest caste. They're also called the outcasts. And they were the ones that buried dead bodies. You know, they were the ones during the tsunami that killed so many thousands. They were the ones that touched them because the upper caste, it was below them to do these things. So it's all a lie of Satan. So when the Dalits found out that Jesus wasn't just one of their 300 million gods, as you mentioned, the plethora of gods they have, Jesus is one of 300 million, not 300,000, but 300 million gods. I mean, they got monkey gods, they got beetle gods, they got frog gods, they got elephant gods. We know about the cow gods, right?
Yeah,
and the reason there's no mercy in pure unadulterated Hinduism is because if you see someone with no leg or you see someone who's blind, it's assumed that they sinned in their past life and they deserve what they got. This is why, like the Mother Teresa's of the land, Jesus followers are the ones who've gone into these dark places and rescued those being led away to death. So when the Dalits heard that Jesus is not just one of 300 million gods, but he is above all gods, that he so loved them, that he died for them, their countenance went from darkness to bright, shining, glowing, radiant joy, as colorful as the garments they wear. And so, sister, you know, I believe that God's going to send my organization, Freedom Cry Life, from Pakistan next door to India after this. Because Pakistan and India were actually the same until a Welshman drew a line in the sand, and Pakistan became Pakistan, and India became India. Now they have,
yeah, that's,
you know.
That's what I was telling.
Now they have their weapons pointed at each other. Anyway, they have their weapons pointed at each other. But anyway, so, yeah, there'll be a thanks for sharing and thanks for your words. And they really uplifted me and encouraged me.
Hallelujah. Now, I want
Price,
to say to you,
Pastor
too,
Price, thank you.
Thank you. I want to say to you as I close, and I know that I opened up, Apostle, I opened up for what y'all going to be doing, because that's why it's going to take a month to go through all of this, because there's so much that he has to share. So, again, I want to thank God for you. I'm looking for what God is doing as a result of you being on Get 'Em Radio broadcast program. I pray that even now for God's special blessing upon you and your wife, upon Sister Teresa, and upon those who come and fellowship with you all, and I give glory to God. So thank you again. Thank you for sharing. And God bless you, Sister Teresa, and all of your daughters and their children and your family and your ministry in Jesus' name. God bless you. And I'm going to go back on you. God bless you.
Oh, thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Pastor Price.
Be there.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah.
All right. So what we're going to do now, and you had a wonderful segue there when you talked about the caste system and how the lowest caste system, the untouchables, they're called as well, that when heard about Jesus, their faces just lit up. We're going to take just a few moments here. We're a little bit on overtime, but we should be done in the next maybe 8 minutes or 10 minutes or so. And so we want to talk about Jesus, give people an opportunity to receive him as Lord and Savior. We'll talk about what's going on Get 'Em Radio. And then we will come back to you, Brother Phil. I want you to make sure that you have what we want to – let our audience know how they can get in touch with you. We want your, if you have a Cash App, PayPal, a Zelle, and how they can connect with Freedom Cry as well. Okay? And then we want you to get closing remarks, and closing prayer. Now I'll be back to you in a few minutes, so be right back. Praise God.
Okay.
So, yeah. So what Brother Phil was saying was just to tell them, the people of India, the people of Pakistan, who's been in this caste system where they are like next to nothing, if not nothing, you know, to everybody around, but for them to know that Jesus loved them. I mean, if that just put a light in their face when they heard about that. And the scripture is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. So God so loved the world so that whosoever, and they realize they're just not a nobody as people have been looking at them for years. And maybe that's how you feel about yourself, you know, that you are nobody, but in God's eyes, you are whosoever. Hallelujah. You're somebody. You are whosoever. And he says, whosoever believes in him. So he doesn't go down the caste system. He doesn't go down the race system. He doesn't go down the financial system. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he does it so well. I just love it. Love him and love how he does this. He makes it very easy for us to be born again. First, he lets us know that he sent his only begotten Son. And then he says this in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. And so that's what he's saying. That it's not your money that's needed. It's not your status that's needed. It's not your race that's needed. But it's your heart and your mouth. Hallelujah. Amen. This makes it very personal, your heart and your life. And so he says, confess with your mouth. That's your mouth. Hallelujah. Confessing with your mouth is saying a prayer. Believing in your heart is making a choice to believe. So you have a heart, you have a mouth, you can get saved. Amen. And so repeat this prayer after me with all your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. And God raised you from the dead. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your way and help me to follow you. And now I know, according to the Bible, that I am saved, I'm born again, I'm redeemed, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So whenever you prayed that prayer, if you prayed it on today, October 2022, or if you were praying this prayer, you listening to us and praying this prayer, and it's the year 3000, should Jesus tarry. Amen. At any time you prayed that prayer, you are saved, you are born again, you're a child of God, you are redeemed, and we welcome you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We welcome you into the church. Amen. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. And the church is the only thing that Jesus is coming back for. So if he has come already, then you still receive him as Lord and Savior. You still got a chance. If he's come already and, you still will have a chance. So you pray and get saved, amen. If he's come, I'm going into too much right now, but we welcome you into the kingdom of God right now in Jesus' name. And we pray over you right now that God will fill you to overflowing with his Holy Spirit and with power. Power to live right, power to walk right, power to talk right, power to think right in the name of Jesus. And then power to even pray in your heavenly language that the Lord has given to you. You have a language. You've heard us pray a little bit tonight. That's our language. You have your own language. Glory to God. And the Lord has given it to you. And so we pray for that power, for it to be released in you right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And now we invite you to a Bible-believing church. And you can go to a church in your neighborhood, a church that you've heard of, that's been on your heart, as long as they're preaching the Word of God and teaching from the Word of God. Amen. So go to that church. God wants you to learn, wants all of us to learn and to grow in him. Also, I want to tell you about and invite you to the, hallelujah, the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. And the Lord has designed the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts to help us all, you and me, to learn and to grow in the things of God. So very quickly, I'm going to tell you what's going on in the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. Every Sunday, we have the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. And the way that you connect with the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts is by dialing the same number, area code 516-418-5699. Amen. That's area code 516-418-5699. 5699, and you can join in the conversation as many did tonight. Okay, so on Sundays, we have the East St. Louis Christian Center Church, where Pastor Mom is our senior pastor. She'll be preaching this weekend, this Sunday coming up. And then, and I am Apostle Barbara Kisby, the apostolic pastor. So join us on Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. On Mondays, we have our Bible teaching. Dr. Lorraine Navarro is our Bible teacher. She's out of Ohio. And the name of the broadcast is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. And so that is every Monday, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, where she digs into the Word and teaches us how to dig into the Word as well. On Tuesdays, we have our prayer time, and we call it Praying in Tongues Tuesday. Every Tuesday at 2 p.m., we have four volunteers that pray in tongues for about 15 minutes at a time, and then we have interpretation of tongues after that. It's no less than awesome. Amen. And many of us are hearing interpretations more and more every time. Now, on Praying in Tongues Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. On Wednesdays, we have our prophetic healing, and that's the second Wednesday of every month. So calendar, set your cell phone alarm. Every second Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, our co-hosts are Elder Philip Harkey and his wife, Minister Linda Harkey. For the last 2 months, 20 people have received their healing, or there's 20 healings that have gone on during that time. So meet us here the second Wednesday of October, which will be this Wednesday coming up, October the 12th, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then we have our Thursday edition of Get 'Em Radio that you're listening to right now, and we will have our brother Phil to come back with us on next Thursday. He'll be with us every Thursday in this month, and we have a lot to talk about. We're going to get into Murford. You know, what's going on with Murford, how Murford got started. And so we'll be talking about that, hit a little bit of that today, but we'll be talking about that as well. We'll also talk about Pakistan. We may not make Pakistan next week, but we're going to get to Pakistan, what's going on in Pakistan, and how God sent him there. I know all of this is miraculous. Praise God. So make sure you join in, family. Tell your friends about the Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. Also, if you want to listen to our podcast, you can listen to them in their entirety by Googling Get 'Em Radio, and that will take you to our Blog Talk Radio platform, where you can listen to all of our 1,300 plus podcasts. Amen. So now we're going to have Brother Phil to come back and let us know how we can get in touch with him, his Cash App, his PayPal, his Zelle. Okay?
Thank you, Sister Barbara.
Amen.
I would say, rather than search freedom cry, I'm telling people more and more to search freedom cry life. And I'll tell you why. If someone Googled freedom cry, the words freedom cry, they're going to come to a site called Assassin's Creed. It's a popular it's a popular old world violent video game. And so, thankfully, I got the domain site, freedomcry.life. And because I got that domain site, all I need to tell people is just don't put in the words freedom cry. Put in the words freedom cry life. Whether you say freedomcry.life or freedom cry life, it'll bring you to our website. And we are a 501c with the United States under Freedom Cry. But if you're searching for us, you won't find us unless you put Freedom Cry Life, L-I-F-E.
Okay.
So freedomcry.life. And I'm saying all that to say if they wanted to know how they could help our ministry and our mission of freeing children from a lifetime of bonded labor, and we'll go into detail how we do that. When they go to freedomcry.life, there's a link how you can help. And it's actually Murford holding a brick, and you click the brick, and it'll give you an option to donate through PayPal or through any credit card. So it once you get to the site, you can find, you go to the page, there's a menu, of course, like any page, and it drops down how you can help. And when you open that up, sure enough, Murford's holding a brick, and on the brick it says freedom, and you click the brick, you just tap it with your mouse or with your finger. Anyway, that would be the easiest way. And if you wanted to personally get a hold of me, you could. There's a way on that website to message us, or I'll give your listeners my email. And that's the words freedomcryinfo@gmail.com. freedomcryinfo@gmail.com. So the website is freedomcry.life. And to contact me on email, it's freedomcryinfo@gmail.com.
Okay. Now, what if we want to feed it to you personally? Cash out, PayPal, Zelle.
I have income personally going up and down trees and trimming trees. So if you gave it to me, there may be a day that I need to partake of donations, but right now God's anointed me to climb trees and trim trees even at 66 years old. So that's how I pay my bills. I have yet to need to dip into any donations to Freedom Cry. My goal, my audacious goal, is to open one brickyard a week to give the children a chance to dream their dreams of doing something besides spending their entire lives making bricks. These brick masters have enough of a sliver of conscience left that they have to let our teachers into those places, educate these kids. And in a future episode, I'll explain what supernaturally is going on in these man forsaken places. I appreciate it, but if they want to bless me personally, they'd be blessing me personally by giving to the cause to set these captives free. And there's creative ways we're doing it besides education, and I'll explain how a good boyhood friend from long ago is empowering already some of the girls that we have freed. They're already being trained making beautiful dresses and being sold in the United States as we speak. And so that's the other thing besides just giving education, giving the children the ability to dream their dreams and become something besides a beast of burden, which is what these bonded laborers have been for generations.
Amen. Amen. Well,
the freedom
definitely
cry, not life.
Yeah, we see your passion on this, and we're looking forward to spending time talking about,
anyone
going back from the beginning.
I can see anyone that gives, I can see that you gave, and I'm going to be I see who gives, and everyone that gives is going to get a gift of a personalized drawn Murford. I will be sending to any of your listeners who give in the mail. Ooh. And they can look up Murford online, M-E-R-F-E-R-D, and between now and the next episode, they'll get a little backstory of Murford, and they'll see a whole bunch of art. Whoever gives will get a personalized hand-drawn character that's blown up all over St. Louis with fans like a couple of the sisters it intrigues me that Murford gives off such good vibes. He's an undercover. He's an ambassador of Christ, you know? And so I thank God that he gives off such a good feeling, and it opens up an opportunity for me to tell people about the creator of creators. So in the artist world, it's an interesting thing. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. But thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Amen. Now, they can also go on Facebook, right?
Uh-huh.
For Facebook people.
There's a Facebook Freedom Cry. Freedom Cry on Facebook. But on the internet, you got to type in freedomcry.life. But on Facebook, right. If you type in Freedom Cry, you'll see the word education or whatever. And there's a lot going on. And there's a lot going on Facebook on the Murford site, too. M-E-R-F-E-R-D. And in the future episode, your listeners will hear how God used Murford to actually open the door of the nation of Pakistan to me and our team.
How
you use a cartoon character.
Amen. Yeah. So we will start with Murford, and then we'll go to Pakistan.
Sounds good. Maybe you'll sing
for us or something like that in between. And, so much. We got to squeeze you all in here. So, and then on that fourth week, you're going to bring the word. So we want
right.
to have time for that because you've been kind of preaching throughout the whole thing today.
I know.
Amen. That's good. We love it. Okay, so we have definitely gone into overtime, which is a wonderful thing.
Okay.
And amen. So we're going to go ahead and close. I want to pray for you quickly, then you give your closing remarks and closing prayer. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you so much for Brother Phil just taking this time out, investing this time in us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now that you strengthen him with might in the inner man by your Holy Spirit. He probably doesn't even stay up this late at night. So, Lord God, give him strength, energy, and Holy Ghost vitality in the name of Jesus so that he can continue to do all that you have given him to do with excellence and expeditiously. And we give you praise and glory for it. And thank you, Lord, for touching him, his wife, his whole family, and all of the ministry you have given to him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
And Father God, I thank you for my sister Barbara Bussey, who and an apostle in the kingdom and the army of the living God, and all the listeners who have stayed up, and even those who weren't able to stay up, that you would give us all dreams and visions. And thank you that we get to glorify you. We get a choice to glorify you in spirit and in truth. The stars do it. The moon does it. The geese, the water buffalo, they all, in their own way, every knee will bow. But we have the choice, and we choose to honor you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who loved us so much that you laid down your life for us. And as we exit this time tonight, Lord, we just pray that there was a depository of good seed and good ground, and that you watered. You water the word that went forth, the testimony I was allowed to bring, Lord, that it moves heart, that it moves fathers, that moves mountains, And we just put a seal on this in your name, above all names, who has given us existence, who has given us eternal life, who's given us the ability to wage war on the one who came to kill, steal, and destroy, but that you came to destroy the works of the devil. And I pray for the gifts to be manifested for that purpose, God, that we may give because you have given us so much this free in Jesus' name.
Amen. And amen. Love you all. Have a blessed rest of the night.
Yes. Y'all tell the people that, huh?